Today, are markets misreading the Middle East war? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and property news. Well, US stock futures look to be a little lower today as investors try to follow the issues in the Middle East and trying to assess the incoming raft of corporate results. Actually, the main indices on Wall Street climbed on Wednesday, moving up towards fresh record highs. That, of course, was driven by relief around the extension of a US-Iran ceasefire shortly before it was due to expire. And it was also bolstered by resilient company profits in the face of war-linked headwinds. Actually, though, uncertainty surrounds the future of potential peace talks between the US and Iran as anxiety around the Strait of Hormuz persists, despite President Donald Trump's announcement of an extended ceasefire earlier in the week. Tehran attacked three ships in the strait, and they seized two of them. Iranian officials said the move was in response to the American blockade of the country's port, as well as the recent seizure of an Iranian flagged ship. Just worth remembering, a day earlier, Trump announced in a social media post that a two-week ceasefire deal with Iran had been extended just as it was due to expire, and he said the extension came at the request of Pakistan, which has served as a mediator between Washington and Tehran, adding that a truce would be in effect until such time as Iranian official presented a unified proposal for peace. But it's worth saying leaders from both sides seem to indicate that they stand ready to resume hostilities, and mediators from Pakistan, Turkey and Egypt were all racing to try and salvage peace talks between the US and Iran, including arranging potentially a meeting as soon as Friday. The US and Iran were exchanging messages via third parties, although there was little progress to be made, according to the recent reports. So signs seem to be pointing towards a persistent oil supply disruption through the Strait of Hormuz, that crucial shipping conduit for a fifth of the world's oil. And crude prices again went over $100 a barrel. Brent crude futures was last even higher, up around $103. So although oil prices have eased back from an initial spike after the start of the war in late February, they are still well above pre-conflict levels. And worries have abounded that the energy shock could trigger a spike in inflationary pressures and a slowdown in global growth. But then, even as headwinds from the Iran war loom, corporate America has delivered a broadly solid start to the first quarter earnings season. According to data, so far, around 80% of firms have reported first quarter earnings that topped analyst expectations. For example, Tesla delivered a quarterly top and bottom line beat as its core automotive business fared better than feared in the quarter. But shares of the company did reverse course in aftermarket trading after the group outlined plans to shell something like $50 billion out this year to drive a pivot into robotics and autonomous driving. Elsewhere, IBM shares fell following a slowdown in revenue growth due to weakness at its software division. Well, it's stalemate. Neither party is fully in control, and neither party appears to be willing to back down. There was an exit path. You know, when they announced last week the Hormuz Straits would be open, if the US had then said, "Well, okay, we'll back off on the other control mechanism that they'd put in place," you could have had the straits open and we could have actually been in a much better situation than we're in at the moment. Neither side is prepared to back down. It becomes a point of principle. In terms of within Iran, clearly a number of senior people were knocked out of the field early on in the war. I think that the truth of the matter is that the new people who are now in positions of power are probably more to the IRGC school of thinking. I think they've probably been elevated. I think that Iran is probably in a stronger position than it was at the start of the war, despite all of the damage. And I believe that it's got a willingness to hunker down and keep going, but with a threat. And I'm just going to show you this slide here. This is the map of the Middle East. And I just want to highlight the fact that there are a number of potential pinch points that Iran could go after. And if they chose to go after them directly or via proxies, something like 35 to 38% of the global oil supply would be affected. They have a huge, huge lever at the moment. And I don't think that the US strategies have a facility to defusing it. Therefore, the US cannot resume the hot war. That means they've got to find a negotiated position, but Trump doesn't want to back down and doesn't want to be seen to be backing down. Iran has the ability to hang around. The US will therefore hang around. So this is going to go on and on and on. I don't see an immediate exit. I think we're going to be in this situation probably in a number of weeks. And if you remember the IMF analysis, they said, look, if this goes on for another couple of months, we're going to see recession quite clearly or worse. And I think that's where we're headed. And of course, once it's open, it's going to take time to get going again. But neither side is going to back down because we've got unstable thinking on both sides and a complete lack of trust. Now, hopefully, the negotiations will get going again and hopefully cooler heads will prevail, but I'm not holding my breath. And therefore, the markets are completely mispriced at the moment for the risks in the Middle East. Oh, and by the way, if you want another little data point, this is a really interesting one. Who's got the biggest crude inventory supplies? China. By an absolute country mile, if this is a million barrels, 1,397 million in China, 413 in the US, 263 in Japan, Europe, 179, India, 21, Australia, hardly any. So yeah, this is huge. This is bad. This ain't going to get fixed quick. And Australia, unfortunately, because of its bad policies over 20, 30, 40 years, is probably at the worst end of the spectrum. But I believe that we're going to be in for a long, slow grind because neither side is willing to give way. Neither side want to recommence full battle posture, but nevertheless, the holdups in the strait are actually really now moving into what I would regard as a long-term stranglehold. Neither side is willing to give way, and neither side is going to be able to necessarily win out. This has absolutely profound consequences for the broader economy, and it is my belief that markets are mispricing. They are well too optimistic, and it's likely that this is going to take a long time to sort out. To be frank, my own view is the US will have to capitulate and effectively agree to stop their blockage of the strait. And on the back of that, Iran is likely then to also back down, and then they could get negotiating. But of course, it is a question of who blinks first. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.